From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
So here's a deceptively simple question that may be complicated to answer. Here it is. What are you to other people? I mean, really, what are you beyond you're the person that provides X or Y thing, or you're the person who runs X or Y company? What are you to those people? What role do you fill in their lives? It's a really important question to answer right now, because these days, of course, what we are has to change. And yet, does it? I mean, what I just said there a second ago, what we are has to change, sounds, you know, true. So much change happening, constant change, new needs, businesses going out of business, new things being built, whatever, it's all changing. And so, of course, what we are has to change. But maybe not. What if instead what we are does not change, and it's just the way that we deliver what we are that changes? That's a totally different way of thinking about it, isn't it? And it's what I want to walk you through today, because it is, I think, the most grounding concept for this moment of intense change, and it's a really important one to stay with. And to hear what it sounds like to get through this question, to resolve this question for yourself, just take a listen to this. So I was talking to my friend Tara Mackey. And well, I mean, this is how she introduces herself.
My name is Tara Mackey. I am the CEO of The Organic Life and the author of Cured by Nature and Wild Habits.
So that's standard stuff, right? I mean, I said, Tara, introduce yourself. And she listed off the things that she does. She's got a company. She had written some books. You could add a couple other things in there. Musician. She totally kills it on Instagram. But anyway, the point is, it's a list of things. It's a list of jobs. It's a list of products. But then I asked her something that I hadn't asked her before, that I almost never even think to ask people, which was, I said, Tara, what are you to people? And then she said something very different.
I think for what I represent to people is hope, the embodiment of hope of like, you can do whatever you want. You can be all the multifaceted sides of yourself and make it work.
Ooh, that's different, isn't it? I mean, that's not a list of things. That's not a list of products. That's a reason for being. That's an understanding of why people come to her and what she's delivering to them, what her role is in their lives. And it is not easy to get to that point. And in fact, Tara and I will talk about that more later. But I want you to hear that now so you can see the difference between, oh, I'm the CEO of this company and I am hope. And the reason it's so important to think about that right now is because although we may have to change the way that we do something in these times of great change, that whatever thing we had created or whatever way that we delivered it or whatever our product or service or offering was that may have to change. But if we understand deep enough what we are to people, the thing that we deliver to people that doesn't change, well, then we can just find new ways to deliver that. I mean, if you represent hope to people, there are so many ways to deliver hope. It doesn't have to be on one product. Doesn't have to be on one company, not one offering. It's hope. It's central. So here's what I want to do on this episode of Problem Solvers. First, I'm going to read to you the column that I wrote in the new September 2020 issue of the magazine, which is all about this, all about differentiating between our what and our why. And then after that, I'm going to have a deeper conversation with Tara and dive in to how she got to this concept of hope and how she's able to deliver on it no matter what's going on in the world. So like I said before, we're going to be doing two things in this episode. First, I'm going to read you this column that I wrote about how to distinguish between what you do and why you do it. And then after that, I'm going to have a conversation with Tara about how she got from these things that she did to this deeper understanding of what she is to people. Okay, so here comes the column. Online, it's called It's Not About What You Do, It's About Why You Do It. And it goes like this. You are not what you do. You are why you do it. This is an especially important distinction today. The what and the why are two different things. And if you confuse the two, then you are not prepared for change. You will be disoriented and rocked, unable to envision a way forward. But if you see what and why as separate, then you become more adaptable. You become less afraid. You feel more in control. So that's very abstract. So let's talk specifics, and we'll start big. I have a general theory about why people fear change. It's because change makes familiar things look unrecognizable. In the 1950s, for example, people connected over bowling leagues and pasta dinners. This was their definition of community. Now, that 1950s generation looks at young people today and they panic because they see no bowling leagues and pasta dinners. Instead, they see WhatsApp groups and TikTok, and they assume those tools can't possibly build meaningful connections. The older generation, therefore, thinks that community is gone. But here's what they're missing. Community is the why, and pasta dinners was just the what. Humans are social creatures, and we create community based on the tools and social structures available to us. Each generation's community will look different, but that doesn't mean each generation loses community. It's always there. We just need to accept that as change comes, the thing we're familiar with will take an unfamiliar shape. Now, zoom into our own individual lives and work. We were familiar with a certain way of doing things. We served meals in restaurants and we taught performing arts on stage. We built a specific product for a specific purpose and marketed it to specific customers. And then our world changed. Nobody was going into restaurants, nobody was going on stage, and that customer we obsessed over just disappeared. Those are scary changes, but they're mostly changes to our what. So what's our why? It'll be different for everyone, but here's a general stab at an answer. A restaurant is about using food to make people feel good. A performing arts school is about fostering creativity. A company isn't the product it creates, but the problem it solves. These are the things at our core. Everything else is just a direction we took. I have been enthralled these past few months as I've seen companies refocus their why and then reinvent their what. It's taken so many forms. For example, the company Beantown Bedding makes compostable, disposable bedsheets for college students. Its co-founders were focused on their college-age kids who never washed their sheets. But when COVID-19 shut down schools, Beantown stopped thinking of itself as a product for students. It targeted hospitals, which need fast room turnovers. Its co-founder and CEO, Kirsten Lambert, said to me, quote, "Already, we've surpassed our strongest year to date," end quote. Here's another. The company Foodsters spent years selling baking mixes, but planned a transformative expansion in 2020, launching a nationwide line of packaged goods like brownie bites and donuts. But when COVID-19 hit, baking mix sales spiked and bakery sales dropped. So Foodsters shelved its plans and re-engineered everything to produce 8 times more mixes. I asked co-founder and CEO Greg Fleischman if he felt bummed to abandon what they'd been working so hard on, and he said no. Quote, "It goes back to why you start a business to begin with," he told me. Quote, "Our mission is about upgrading sweet baked goods and bringing joy to people's lives. We're doing that now," end quote. When Fleischman speaks of his company's mission, he is speaking about his why. It's unchanging. The what is mere habit, an idea that made sense until it didn't. The what flies away in the wind, while the why is drilled into the ground. We all have these two things, and we need these two things, but we cannot confuse these two things. We are not knocked down by something as flimsy as a what. We are the creators of infinite possibility, and it all starts by knowing what changes and what never will. So that's the column. And the reason that I wanted to talk about it with my friend Tara Mackey is because she just puts so much out into the world. There's so many different ways that you might have run across something that she does, whether it's her organic skincare company or her writing on a blog or her books or the music that she makes or the social media that she creates. And so I wanted to know, what is the thing that ties it all together for her? What is at the very core? And as you will recall, she said this thing that sounds so almost audacious that it's amazing to say it, which is she represents hope. And, you know, the quick background, you'll hear more about it as we talk. The quick background is that Tara was suffering from chronic illness and then pulled herself off of medicines and went on this journey of healing. And that is what her blog and her books were about. And it's the thing that is the kind of defining first element of her brand and what she represents to people. But of course, now she has gone so far beyond that. So when we spoke, I started by saying, Tara, you think of yourself as representing hope to people, but how did you get there? And how did you give yourself permission to think in this elemental way? Because, you know, it's a really useful way to think. It's a really useful framing for what you represent and how you can serve an audience. But of course, it requires the confidence to say something that big. So how do you do it?
Of course. And I think I was afraid to say it to myself in the beginning, especially with a journey like mine and what it took for me to get healthy, being on 14 pharmaceutical drugs, coming off of them cold turkey, finding these natural alternatives in books that were written and people I was running into and wanting to be that for somebody. That being my reason on my worst days of being able to get through something is wanting to be that hope and that solution for someone else. Because once I realized that I could really do this because those solutions were out there and I just didn't know about them before, I realized that the largest reason I was put here was education. And all of that education was around giving people hope, giving people alternatives that they don't or didn't know that they have to change their life. Because that's what changed mine, was the realization that I can do things differently than the way I've always been taught that I have to do them. And once I started to really embrace that, that's when my life absolutely skyrocketed. And so I knew if I could give that to people, if I could bottle that somehow in everything that I did and everything that I embodied and do that for even one more person, I was fulfilling my purpose. And when you have your purpose, that's everything. That's everything you need as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I imagine that is very liberating. And by that, I mean that if you think you are one thing to people, then you, in a way, are stuck. You're stuck producing that thing over and over again. If people had found you, if you didn't make the mental leap from that you wrote this blog, you wrote this book, whatever it was that people had found from you, and you say, well, this is the thing that people know me from, and so this is the thing that I have to continue to deliver to them, then you're stuck doing one thing, and that can feel pretty closed in. But by making this mental shift to something that is so core that so many different things could come out of it, that no matter the stage of life that you are in or where you see your consumer going or how you feel like your skill sets develop, that you can continue to deliver on something that's so core and fundamental as hope that it can go anywhere, that sounds limitless.
Yeah, that's the feeling that I want to deliver to people, is that they are limitless. And that if I can do it with my background and the fact that, you know, 5 years ago I was on food stamps, if I can do it, they can definitely do it. And I want people to know that they are limitless. And to answer your question from before too, was it difficult? Of course it was difficult. Like, I'm not a very ego-driven person. My drive is about giving back and serving others. And so it was a big mental shift to even be able to see myself as that beacon of light for people, as that inspiration of hope. And it took many years to be able to own that, even to be able to own the products I create around it, to be able to say, I'm going to put myself out as a musician and this music is very personal to me, but you know what? It might give somebody hope. Or to be able to say, yes, I make a breast care oil and my mission in this company is normalizing breast care. That took a while for me to be able to really digest in myself and own for myself. But I think once you own the reasons that you're here, then you're a living embodiment of your company and you can take everything to the next level.
You know, that reminds, what you just said there reminds me of a conversation that I have had with many people about this may sound slightly off topic, but it comes right back to it. It was about self-promotion and how I think a lot of people are afraid of telling others about the thing that they have or promoting themselves in some way because they're afraid that it sounds like they're shoving their thing at someone. They're being a burden to somebody else. They're saying, you know, look at this, look at this. But if you are able to make this shift in thinking less about that you are abandoning the idea that you are pushing something at people and instead embracing the idea that you are valuable to people and that the thing that you have is of so much value that they need to know about it, that you are doing them a favor by letting them know about it, then at that point, sharing what you've created becomes quite easy because there's a purpose to it. And that purpose goes beyond just selling something. And what you just said there makes me wonder how you got over that self-doubt. Like, was there a particular turning point? Was there something somebody said to you? Was there something you said to yourself that helped you bridge this gap that I think every entrepreneur in some way or another needs to bridge?
When you do start putting yourself out there, you will get validation. And so I think putting little breadcrumbs out there and letting people know that these things are on your heart and this is what you do and this is what you're here to provide for people, you will get the validation from people that you have helped them. Like, I remember one of my first book tours, there wasn't a lot of people there. It was my first book. The book had just come out. I didn't even know that I should probably wait a few weeks to go on tour. So it was like the day the book came out. And there was maybe a handful or two of people there. And I remember one of the women there just sent me a message like 2 weeks ago saying, thank you again, because picking up that book in that moment really helped her. And she reread it recently and was so grateful to have met me back then. And if I didn't put myself out there then, I wouldn't have made that impact and gotten that validation then that let me know that what I'm doing is really serving the purpose that I'm doing it for. It was very hard for me to put that book out. It's a very vulnerable book about my journey. And there's a lot in there that I didn't necessarily have to share, but wanted to share to give people the full picture of everything that you're able to overcome as a human and how real growth is possible in looking at these things and being able to move forward in who you are. And I'm just, every single time I put something out there and it really does change someone's life, there is beautiful purpose in that beyond what inspires you to do the thing to begin with. I think that it really takes it full circle when you get to see how what started out as an idea in your head is now truly affecting people's lives.
That was a great answer. And the thing that I loved the most about it was that the answer is not some flip of a switch. It's not some specific thing that happened. It is a slow process. Because when we're talking about something as big as accepting that you have value that kind of transcends whatever particular thing you make or whatever moment you're in, and you don't know how to embrace that. And I feel like a lot of people get stuck at point one and don't necessarily get to point two, that the answer isn't that you just have to think differently, or the answer isn't that somebody has to tell you something, or that you have to have some particular experience. What you're saying is like, no, you start little by little. You put a little something out there and you trust the feedback that comes, and that emboldens you to do something a little bit more. And then you get more feedback there, and you just kind of phase into it and are probably always phasing into it. I mean, I don't know. You know, the way you talk about this is like that the you from now is a somewhat recent phenomenon. Do you feel like you're still, how comfortable do you feel in what you feel like you represent to people? You are able to say confidently you represent hope to people. But I don't know, when you say that, do you totally feel that now, or are you still phasing into it?
I totally feel that now because it's very prevalent in every single thing I do, in every product that I make, in every song that I write, in every music video that I do, in every dollar that I make is to give back and to provide hope to other people. I truly do feel that, but it is a growth. It is an expansion. It will change as time goes on. And I'm excited for that. Like, I'm excited to find new ways to blow people's minds about what's possible on this earth. I think it's been really wonderful to be able to combine, you know, my science background and the creative side that I have and everything that I've been through and be able to tell a story with that, that is a story of hope. And so when you're living your message, you will feel comfortable in it because it's true to who you are. You're not trying to be something that you're not. I'm just packaging up everything I've been through and learned in my life and saying, here's a solution to a problem that I used to have that I solved. If you want it, great. If you don't need it, that's okay. It's for someone else. And so I'm not offended when people don't like me or don't like what I do because it's just not for them yet, or it maybe never be, will be. And that's okay. I am here for the people who need me. And I'm very content in that.
Did you feel like you had to adjust anything once COVID shook up the way that we do business, the way that we connect, the things that people need? If you were running a restaurant, you'd have to rethink everything about how you operate. You are not running a restaurant, so some of the functionality of your business can maintain just how it was before. But I wonder if you had to rethink how you were communicating to people, how you were articulating that value to people. What about this moment both held firm and also had to change?
We pivoted to a way more educational model. So providing people with DIY hand sanitizers and things like that in the very beginning of COVID, when these were things that people literally couldn't buy and couldn't find. And we wanted to give people an alternative of like, you probably have these three ingredients in your house and you can probably make this stuff yourself and it will be natural and here's how to do it. So we pivoted immediately to how do we provide people with solutions to the problems that they're facing today. And as a Black-owned business, we did the same thing with the Black Lives Matter movement. We pivoted to Black education, Black beauty education, the Black Lives Matter movement education, and just let people know that we are a Black-owned business and we're very proud of it. And we have always hired people of color. We have always hired women. We have only hired women. And just reminding people of our values and where we started from and what's important to us. I think that shift for us was very important, more so than a monetary shift or anything like that. Of course, the business has to survive. But I think in times like these, letting people know that you have solutions to their problems and that what's on their mind is also important to you is essential as a business.
Tara, to kind of wrap up, I want to ask you, as entrepreneurs and yourself face whatever it is that comes next, and I mean, you know, be that economic changes, social changes, whatever it is that we have to react to, respond to, serve the needs of, what have you learned from that shift that you just described of being reactive to the moment, of serving people's needs now, regardless of how it was that you served them before, that you feel like you learned and that other people can take away from as they think about how to continue to serve people and be true to their own missions?
I think it really makes an impact on people. I think they really do pay attention when you step up as a business and say, this is what we believe in, and this is how we're here to serve you. We're not here to take your money. We're here to provide you with something that you maybe need right now. And here's how we're going to do that. And I have definitely seen our customers respond in so many different ways, whether it's the way that they're engaged with us, the content that they share, how they share that content with other people, what they get excited about that we're sharing. Like, I have seen a fundamental shift in people not just getting what our products are about, but what our brand is about, what we're about. And as an extension, as the CEO of that brand, what I'm about as a person. And, you know, speaking of why we're doing what we're doing and what our mission is, like, that's what's important at the end of the day. Like, I don't believe that there is any success without emotional success. And so if you can feel at the end of the day like you're really serving people and people are really getting an understanding of who you are, that's when you're going to truly feel successful in your business.
Tara, what you just said there, I think, is the words that everyone needs to write down at the end of this. So I just want to say it again. You said there is no success without emotional success. A really, really perfect way, I think, to give a payoff to what mission means. Because mission isn't just about coming up with something that people are going to be attracted to. Mission is something that can drive you so much that you will overcome the discomfort of getting there, of embracing it, of figuring out what you are to people, of pivoting in a challenging moment, that is emotional success. And as you say, that is success. So thank you for that perspective.
Thank you. Thank you. And yeah, it'll get you through the grind.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.